Thank you for listening to the show on Really Big Something Channel.
Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Under the Trump plan, we will have a massive tax cut for businesses and massive tax reform and simplification. As the president said during the campaign, we will lower the business rate to 15%. We will make it a territorial system. We will have a one-time tax on overseas profits, which will bring back trillions of dollars that are offshore to be invested here in the United States to purchase capital and to create jobs. The president is determined to unleash economic growth for businesses. This is not just about large corporations. Small and medium-sized businesses will be eligible for the business rate as well.
This is the Savage Nation. You are listening to the Treasury Secretary, Steve Mnuchin. He is probably one of the smartest men on earth, as is Gary Cohn, and they're managing the economy. Now, they are looking at the economy from the point of view of, frankly, to make it very simple, the old Reagan view of trickle-down economics. In plain English, that's what this comes down to. And it's my job to try to interpret for you the complexities of the Trump tax proposal. It's really not that complex. It's very complex for those living check to check, or for the communists in the media who have a hatred for anything Trump does. If Trump said he was raising their own salary by double, they would attack that as somehow racist. And they're also pretty stupid. Most people in the media are pretty dumb, which is why they went into journalism to begin with. It's a place where people go when they can't do anything else. They're usually at the lower level of the economic and of the intellectual plane. And so in the middle of the press conference today, on Trump's tax plan, handled brilliantly by Gary Cohn and Steve Mnuchin. There it was again. There they were, the low-grade intellectuals saying, when will the president release his tax returns? Of course, it had to happen. The only thing missing there were people from Berkeley wearing masks and throwing bombs. So she asked where, two of the dumb women in there asked, when is Trump going to release his tax returns, as though that had anything to do with the tax proposal. Now, the correct answer, if I had been in charge, would have been, well, it's real simple. When Barack Obama releases his college records, we'll consider it. Any other questions? Why don't they ever go on the attack? I'll never understand. Have they not learned the first? These are smart men. Did they not know how to react to those in the fake news business? Simple. When Obama releases his college transcripts from Columbia, and when Obama releases his application form from Punahou High School to Occidental College, and when he releases his application to go to Columbia, and when he releases all of his transcripts from Columbia, we'll consider. Any other questions? But no, it's always the same. Okay, I don't want to ask anything on that. I'm just telling you how they should have handled the press. They're getting much too weak. Now, before I ask you the question of questions, which is what do you think of Trump's tax plan? And I know it's kind of boring, but it really isn't boring because we all pay taxes. Two things are absolutely definite in life, as you well know, death and taxes. If Trump had released a death plan, which would guarantee an additional 10% of life for every American, Charles Schumer would have stood up and said, we're not going to go for any gimmicks. We are not going to approve of any gimmicks extending life for the average American. In fact, we oppose extending life for any American. Because, as you well know, that will apply unequally to the white man. And it is racist to suggest that we're going to extend life in America. So I totally oppose anything to do with extending life under the Trump death plan. Of course, if Nancy Pelosi was asked to comment on Trump's death plan, where he would extend life, she wouldn't have known what the death plan was, and she would have mangled the words. Have you heard her, Let? You can't believe what this woman. This woman is clearly ready for a bug house. But let's get back to the speech today on the tax code. I've studied it so far as I can. We all heard it. He wants to reduce the current 7 different tax brackets to only 3. A 10% bracket, a 25% bracket, and a 35% bracket. He'll double the standard deduction and will allow married couples a virtual 0% tax rate on the first $24,000. There will be child and dependent care tax credits. The alternative minimum tax, the AMT, will be eliminated. The top capital gain tax will be reduced to 20%. Here's a very big one. The money that pays for Obamacare socialized medicine is a 3.8% tax on capital gains and interest income. This will be eliminated. It will be a great benefit to investment business and small business owners. It will be gone. You will not be paying for socialized medicine. Here's one that I think is very important to anyone who works their whole life and puts aside money for their children. It will repeal the death tax. As I said to you, this is one of the most egregious of all taxes. If you build a business your whole life and you pass it on to your children, the children will owe 50% of their money to the gangsters who created this. China has no death tax. Russia has no death tax. But under Obama, he raised the death tax. Corporate tax rate of 15%. He will eliminate most tax breaks that mainly benefit high-income individuals. I don't know what that means. There will no longer be any property tax deductions. Is that correct? Is he going to eliminate property tax deductions? I know he's eliminating deductions for state income tax. That can be devastating for people who live in states that are high tax states like New York and California, for example. It can be devastating and result in actual tax increase. I'm not so sure that's a smart idea. One of the good ideas here is a one-time tax on repatriation of trillions of dollars of overseas money. What that means is companies like Google and Facebook, Microsoft, who have hidden trillions of dollars in overseas income, it's really not overseas income, they set up overseas companies to receive their income overseas to pay almost no taxes on it. Well, this will permit the gangsters, I mean the businessmen, in these companies to bring their money home to America at a one-time tax, I think, of 15%, only if they invest in American businesses and jobs. We'll see how they get around that one next. We'll see how the wonderful Americans in Facebook, Google, and Microsoft, and all these other wonderful companies who have hidden all this money, let's see if they invest it, okay? Now, here's a side note about Steve Mnuchin, who you may... Raise your hand if you know who I'm talking about. He was the guy with the glasses, the nerdy guy. He's one of the smartest men on earth. He is, of course, Treasury Secretary. The reason I'm interested in him is I went to see a movie about a month ago, and it was called The Accountant. It's one of the most fabulous movies I've ever seen. I couldn't stop watching it. I saw it 3 times since. It was not a big grossing movie because there were no guns in it. Let's see, there were no minorities in it doing anything like saving the world or discovering the cure for polio. So therefore it failed because it wasn't PC. But the movie was phenomenally interesting, The Accountant. It's about an autistic child who becomes a financier for the cartels and the mafia and gangs of that nature. He started out as a small-time accountant, but he wound up, you know, learning how to run their money for them. And it's so interesting in so many different ways, especially from the point of view of autism, because he was autistic, the character, as a child. And he would flail, and he would do this, and he would do that. But the character's father is a military officer who, instead of throwing his hands up in frustration or getting angry at the poor child, he holds the child when he has one of his episodes, calms him down, and then eventually teaches this child martial arts by taking him to one of the best martial arts practitioner he knows in Malaysia. The father, again, is a military man, and he knows, I believe it was set in Malaysia, and he and his brother are trained in martial arts to become absolute killers, to channel all of their aggression into martial arts. And the father makes him fight with the town bullies. He does not let him get away with it. He teaches them either you're going to be a predator or prey. And he sits in the car with the two boys when the bullies are outside the car. after the bullies have challenged these kids, and he says to them, you make the decision, boys. Are you going to be predator or are you going to be prey? And you see the children are frightened, as any child would be. Don't think anyone is born brave. They're made brave. And the father, by encouraging them to fight, makes them go out and whip the butts of these horrible bullies. It's a very fascinating movie. And I often wondered after seeing this movie if Steve Mnuchin had something personal to do with the very serious illness of autism. I don't know, because it ends in an autism treatment center in Canada somewhere. Anyway, it's a side note, but Mnuchin also produced with his company Rat Pack Dune Entertainment. By the way, in 04, Mnuchin founded Rat Pack Dune Entertainment as a side business, and it financed a number of great films, including the X-Men film franchise and Avatar. But in Hollywood, Steve Mnuchin, again, our Treasury Secretary, along with film producer Brett Ratner, working with Rat Pack Dune Entertainment, produced the great movie American Sniper. Did you know that? And Mad Max Fury Road, which I didn't see, nor do I ever intend to see it. Mnuchin was co-chairman of the trio's movie company, Relativity Media, but left before it went bankrupt. Very, very interesting. So look it up and see the movies he's been involved with. If you want to talk about the idea of taxes, we can do that for a little while, because that's what's in the business today. Gary Cohn, also one of the most brilliant financial people in the world. And many of you say, well, but he's with Goldman Sachs. Therefore, he's no good. You know, and I always have to say the same thing to you. Who do you think can better manage the economy? Someone who ran Goldman Sachs and understands finances in ways the average person can't, myself included, or you? Would you know how to manage the economy? What would you do to manage the economy? If you were made Treasury Secretary, what would you do? Most of you have no answer. I don't have an answer. I have never been good at finance. I never pretended to be good at finance. I have no aptitude towards finance. I have found that people who are experts in finance are different than you and I. It's as simple as that. They have different brains. Their brains work differently. And so that's why Trump hired them. I'm quite surprised they even took the job, to be honest with you. I have no idea why men like Gary Cohn or Steve Mnuchin would even take the job. I have no idea why they would do it. Anyway, that's one of the stories. Team Trump unveils a sweeping tax reform plan. Phone number here is 855-407-2822. Here are some other topics I want to talk about today. Is Ivanka a liability or an asset? That's a very interesting one. And the judge in San Francisco, if you want to call him that, he's nothing but a radical in a black robe. The rotten, stinking William Orrick was appointed by guess who in 2012? You guessed it. The great Barack Obama. He was made U.S. District Judge for the Northern District of California in 2012 by none other than the secretive Barack Obama. And by the way, while working as a lawyer in the private sector, this very same judge who blocked the federal action against sanctuary cities raised $200,000 for President Sneak. President Sneak was given $200,000 by this judge. You understand how it works now? This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
You're listening to Michael Savage. Coming up at 3, it's Mark Levin on Talk Radio 560 KSFO.
Triggering at my migraine. Let's turn it off. I can't even follow. Certain music triggers. The thoughts go haywire. If my head goes haywire, the audience can't follow it either. Look, we're talking about the most boring topic on earth, yet we all pay taxes. So I'll do it for a few more minutes. Some of the proposals look good on paper, but I can guarantee you they're not going to work, number one, if they're passed at all, number two, and how many of them will be passed, number three. And number four, let's talk about the big one. Politically, it sounds good to make Google, Facebook, Microsoft, and those giants who have parked trillions offshore to avoid U.S. taxes to bring it home at a low tax rate. They're going to get around it as sure as I'm standing here. I don't know how, because I'm not a tax expert, but they are going to hire former IRS guys who are going to say, here's how you get around it and pay nothing, Zuckerberg. You can buy a million more undershirts with this one. He must analyze everything in terms of undershirts that he saves on. Let's say each undershirt's $100. So let's say he saves $100 million. I guess that's 10 million undershirts, if you add it up quickly. Jules on WABC, how many undershirts will Zuckerberg save on this repatriation idea?
He won't lose anything. That's what I'll just tell you. I spoke to you before, Michael. I was an international examiner for the IRS, and they had a repatriation giveaway in the, I think it was 2005. Well, here's how it went. All they had to do was provide a jobs plan to be accepted. We were told from Washington, accept the jobs plan, no matter what it says. Accept it. Okay? So once it was accepted, we allowed them to bring back the money. I think it was at a rate of 5%, which
right.
was really a fantastic rate. And in subsequent years, I wanted to see the job plan in action. I was told, don't even look there.
But wait, when they bring the money back, let's say it's $1 billion a company, they bring it back. Do they have to invest it in the U.S., or can they park that in a bank?
Whatever they want, they could pay dividends with that money. They could do whatever.
Oh, they could just use, they can use it internally.
Anything they want to do.
So you're saying, Jules, you're saying it may not produce many jobs.
It may not. The only thing that has to do with jobs is to get that special tax rate, they had to produce a jobs plan. You could go to any accounting firm.
Well, that's like when you went for unemployment, you had to make believe you were looking for work, even though you wanted to be on UI for 26 weeks. So a lot of people would make believe they were looking for work. All they had to do was come in with one example of a job they went to look for at McDonald's or whatever, and then they would continue to collect unemployment insurance. Same thing, right?
Yes, exactly. But the beauty of this is they brought the money in at a low tax rate, virtually nothing, because they get foreign tax credits offsetting, you know, whatever they brought in, all right? So they got that. And then the jobs plan supposed to be in subsequent years.
Yeah, but they never enacted it, in other words. Jules, so you think it's a sham?
I know it's a sham. I was right. It's as big a sham as...
In other words, you're saying they did it before and it produced zilch, nothing. So we're getting, again, a rabbit in a hat again from this administration. Jules, please stay on. I want to ask you next about eliminating the state tax deductions.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
You're listening to Michael Savage on Really Big Something Channel.
Money!
All right, so death and tax. Can't do much about either, they say. But the thing is, now we're being told we're going to have a massive tax cut for the average person for businesses. Well, okay, let's hope so. But I don't know what it really means in some regards, because the way it looks to me, if you look just at the repatriation issue, which I know nothing about, but we all know that the big companies like the ones I mentioned, I don't have to mention undershirt over and over again, they've parked trillions of dollars overseas to avoid U.S. taxes. They don't pay their fair share. That's why they talk about the rich and paying their fair share. That's why they fund left-wing rioters. That's why they fund LGBT antagonists. That's why they fund fake science and global warming. It's to take the radical left off their own backs and put them on our backs. So we have a caller from New York, Jules, on ABC, who sounds like he knows what he's talking about. Jules, you were a former IRS agent?
Yes, an international examiner, too. So I, in the financial service area, okay?
You sound like a smart guy I used to know in New York. That's why I like you on the show. I feel like I'm talking to somebody who understands me and I understand him. I am not a financial guy, Jules. I have a reasonably functional intelligence in many areas. Some areas I'm off the charts. Some areas I'm dumb in. And one of them is finance. I don't understand finance, Jules.
It's a very complicated area. In fact, you're making mistakes as you're speaking. You're talking about cheating the U.S. I mentioned this to you once before. They don't care where they have to pay their tax. It's a global tax. If it cheats the U.S., fine. If it cheats U.K., fine. they just want to pay, they minimize their global tax. No matter where they pay it, they don't care.
No, I understand. So let's say a company earns $1 trillion in America, but they don't earn it in America. They earn it in a corporation they set up in Ireland where the tax rate is very low or zero. Now, of course I understand that.
Okay. The question is bringing it back.
All right. So now Trump is going to say, Mr. Microsoft, bring it back home. We'll only pay, you'll only pay 15% if you what? Create businesses? Is that it? Create jobs?
It won't work. I told you last time a plan, and you were supposed to get me in touch with the Trump people. There's only one way to do it. There's only one way. You have to tie it directly to jobs created on a global basis. You have to, global compensation and the number of employees have to reside in the U.S., a certain percentage. That's the only way to do it.
You could, and you, so you're telling me, as I suspected, they'll never impose those rules on these corporations, right?
They won't because, well, there's two ways to look at it. They will impose it if you lower the tax rate for U.S. corporations who follow those rules, who employ more people in the U.S., and who provide most of the compensation to U.S. people paying taxes. The beauty of my theory is the jobs created are in the U.S. to taxpayers. Taxpayers pay to the Treasury. So the corporation would pay a lower rate. Big deal. The individuals receiving income will be paying taxes to boost the Treasury. It's a boost to the middle class.
All right, let's, okay, you heard the tax rates. He's going to do three tax rates, right?
Yeah.
10, 15, I don't even have it in front of me. Here it is.
I just heard it this morning.
Okay, it's not going to be seven brackets. It's going to be a 10, a 25, and a 35. How is that going to affect the average family making between $60,000 and $100,000 a year between a man and a woman?
I'll tell you. There's other things that go into tax rate. Would you rather pay 25% taxes on $100,000 or pay 30% taxes on $40,000? So it doesn't matter what your rate is. It's what your tax base is. And you alluded to that before we went into commercial. You mentioned about the deductibility of state income taxes.
Yeah.
So if you lose that deduction, that your tax base is bigger. So your tax rate will be lower. But
that's what I was afraid of. I'm getting emails from people in the high income bracket who said those who live in California, New York, or in the high income brackets are actually going to pay more.
Could be. Yes, could be.
That's what I'm getting emails. So in other words, Trump is screwing us, in plain English, those who voted for him?
I didn't see the whole package, but from what you're telling me, there's room to be screwed, yes.
Okay, so it's another politician pulling a rabbit in a hat job on us. Now, what about no more property tax deductions? That's a disaster, isn't it?
Oh, my God. What you're saying now, you're hitting the middle class where it hurts. This is
that's right.
Class.
Let's say a person owns a house somewhere in America, and they've been paying high mortgage rates, figuring they can deduct the cost.
That's right.
Okay. Now what? They're not going to be able to deduct those payments from their federal income? Or they can't write it off against their income?
All right, individuals have deductions. Either they take a standard deduction or they take an itemized deduction. You're talking about itemized deductions now. So itemized deductions such as contributions, which, by the way, if you can't take itemized deductions anymore, there'll be less going to contributions. But,
you know what, Jules? They also said that they're not adding infrastructure spending to this. Trump was considering including infrastructure spending in the plan to try to win over Democrats who like pork barrel projects.
Oh, God.
Right? Now, how would we pay for tax cuts and infrastructure spending? Can you figure that one out?
Well, it could be done on a local basis. You're just talking federal taxes.
Right. Well, the way I explain, by the way, I did explain this to some extent in Trump's war, where I said that you could privatize some new construction, which has been done since the Revolutionary War. The whole origin of the word toll roads comes from the Revolutionary era, where pikes were put across the road, turnpikes. The pikes were only lifted when toll was paid. So it does go back to the Revolutionary War, and I would have thought that that would be something that the Democrats would like. But they really only like government spending where unions can be involved. They want the highest possible cost for the lowest possible return. That's the Democrat way. And that, you know, Jules, this goes to the whole press conference thing today. I saw the questions being asked by the so-called reporters. These are people who don't understand that when you cut taxes for real on businesses, it stimulates growth because they will invest the money or they'll spend the money. And that stimulates the economy. Isn't that a given, Jules?
No question about it. I have a question for you. You know, doesn't the president have discretionary payments that he can make on his own? Because the big hang-up right now is the wall. The Democrats will not pay for the wall. How did Obama pay monies to the Iran government in an airplane without anybody knowing? How did Hillary Clinton lose $6 billion in the State Department without anybody knowing? You know, but now he wants to...
Yeah, and wait, and how does Janet Napolitano, who's the chancellor of the University of California, it is suddenly discovered, have a slush fund of $178 million or so? Where'd she get the money from? Where'd she get that money from?
There's so much corruption, it's unbelievable.
How many years have I been screaming about corruption in the state of California, most notably in my hometown of San Francisco? And now as it pops up, and America and the world sees how corrupt Nancy Pelosi and Dianne Feinstein's backyard is, tell me what's going to be done about it. Nothing.
You want to talk about Maxine Waters? Go talk about her. This woman making billions.
I can't talk about her because she's below discussion.
I know.
There's nothing to say about her. She makes Nancy Pelosi look like Albert Schweitzer. Let's put it to you that way.
Your point is so on the money right now. I know taxes are boring, and I know what I'm talking about. But you hit the money. You hit it on the head, Michael. You hit it on the head. If this isn't done right, it's going to be a killer. It's going to kill the middle class even more.
Unbelievable. That's what I'm afraid of. I don't know how much of this has been thought out, and I do know that once Schumer gets his dirty mitts on it, he'll twist it so that people actually pay more money, not less.
And without it, middle class for sure. I volunteer. I'm retired. I will work for Trump for nothing. Just get me to work for him. I have ideas. I've seen it. I know where the abuses are. I fought the abuses. I will do it for nothing.
Well, you'd be great. You'd be great to work with Mnuchin. You really would. I think you emailed me, right, when we talked a few months ago?
Yes, I would do it.
Stay in the line. Jules, I do want to get your email again. I can't say I'm going to have an opportunity to give it to the president. Guess what? Maybe I will. Maybe it's the reverse of Madame Defarge. Maybe Madame Defarge is now keeping the names of the good people to be given to the president rather than the list of the bad people to be, let us say, viewed with negativity by the president. Jules, Jules, you know there's a chapter called Trump's Economic War. Did you ever get a copy of Trump's War yet?
I'm not going to start with you. You promised me a book last time. You didn't send it to me.
The publisher didn't. That's usually I'm very, very demanding that they follow through. Jules, I'm a man of my word. Leave us your email. You will get a copy of Trump's War. You're going to get two of them, as a matter of fact. Now, what's interesting is this. I have a chapter in which I write taxation and regulation with sellout representation. Sound familiar? Eddie needs a fair minimum wage. I know that goes against the grain of the so-called conservatives out there who would starve people to death and bring back child labor in order to save a buck. But I've actually worked for the minimum wage, and I know what it's like to work for the minimum wage. And Eddie needs a fair minimum wage, and he can't live on what he has now. I talk about the forgotten man, turnpikes, and an America first economy. And I think you should look into it. I think that if you look into it, you may find out that there's something to be learned from Trump's war, especially Chapter 2, Trump's Economic War. So there's four solutions at the front of the chapter. I'll make it simple. Cut taxes on shackle American corporations and citizens. Well, is that what Trump announced today? I don't know. Two, quit NAFTA at once, just as he did with TPP. Well, he announced he may do that. So maybe he read the bullet points. 3, employment mandate for America. Foreigners need not apply. What's wrong with that one? Unless there is a job that can only be fulfilled by a non-citizen, it should go to an American first. And 4, I call for immediately rebuilding infrastructure through private investment. I don't know what's wrong with that idea, but it's all in the book, and there's a reason for it, because it's well thought out. KSFO, when I come back, Kathy disagrees on repatriation. She disagrees with Jules. I think we'll take this segment to the top, and then we're going to go to the other topics. Ted Cruz says, make El Chapo pay for the border wall. He wants to seize the assets of El Chapo, about $14 billion, and apply that money, Ted Cruz does, in legislation, to forfeit that asset, those assets, and those assets from El Chapo will go directly to building a wall and securing the border. That's a very interesting statement. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
You're listening to Michael Savage. Coming up at 3, it's Mark Levin on Talk Radio 560 KSFO.
During the break, I was looking at Kim Jong-un. The guy's lost a lot of weight, but he still has bags under his eyes. And I was thinking about that. I have a lot of great advertisers. Maybe we can get him some Genucel for the eyes. He's shrinking in the suit. Guess he has sleepless nights. We can get him a mattress, get him some gold coins from Swiss America to put away in the mattress. He'll be in good shape. I wonder if he wakes up in the morning like so many millions do and say, I wish this bag under my eye would just go away. Well, if that sounds like you every morning, those bags and you're not alone. Bags and puffiness under the eyes are a problem for millions of American men and women until now. Introducing the new Genucel serum with plant stem cell technology from Chamonix. Susan from New Jersey wrote this. I've been using Genucel for a couple of months. The puffiness around my eyes is gone. Even the crow's feet and small lines have disappeared and haven't come back. I love your product. I use it under my eyes, around my cheekbones, and on my eyelids. Not only Susan, folks, millions use it and millions love it. And with its instant effects, you'll see results in the first 12 hours guaranteed or you get your money back. From now until Mother's Day, get a free month supply of Genucel with your order. Call now and express shipping is also free. All you got to do is call 800-SKIN-891. That's 800-SKIN-891. Order today and Chamonix will include a surprise luxury gift absolutely free. You'll look so great for Mother's Day. 800-SKIN-891. 800-SKIN-891. That's 800-SKIN-891. What would you like to talk about? I'm a little worried about North Korea. The guy's unstable. He's a maniac. He's got nuclear weapons. We can laugh at him all we want, but this is a dangerous, crazy man. The only thing missing are riots in Berkeley in favor of Kim Jong-un. The only thing missing is the mayor of Berkeley coming out in solidarity with the mayor, with Kim Jong-un. The only thing missing is Charles Schumer coming out, along with Nancy Pelosi, let us say, in sympathy for Kim Jong-un. The only thing missing is Madeleine Albright going over there to celebrate with Kim Jong-un, as she's done in the past with the father. It's not a laughing matter, because this guy's crazy, and he's trying to prove that he's a strong man. And if you look at the pictures that are being posted right now on the Daily Mail, and it's linked up on the Drudge Report, it's pretty frightening, to be honest with you. You know, you sit and say, is this real, or am I imagining it? This maniac lines up thousands of artillery pieces and fires them across the sea to mark the anniversary of the founding of its military. Then there he is, jutting out of the sunroof of a car. Again, the suit is hanging on him. He said he's taking a 40-pound weight loss. I don't know what he's on. He could be on a special kimchi juice diet, which I'd like to know something about. Maybe I could sell it here. The guy's lost weight. He's got sleepless nights. Nice black hair on him, but he's a young man. I'm not too sure about the side job where there's no hair. I don't get that look. What's with the black hair on top and no hair on the sides? Where'd that come from? That's not a local Korean custom, is it? This guy's crazy. Do you understand what it's like to see a crazy man with this weaponry, and he kills anybody who doesn't laugh enough at his jokes, or doesn't clap long enough, or doesn't cry long enough? Anyway, we have an aircraft carrier that he's threatening to sink. Now he's threatening to attack Australia. all you people who said, yeah, I'm going to move to New Zealand. I'm running away from America. I'm going to live in the Southern Hemisphere. I'm going to live in New Zealand where it's safe. I've always known that that's a falsehood. You know, I wrote a fictional novel years ago called Survivor. In fact, it's on Kindle. It's only a few bucks. But it's a fictional story written in the 1980s about a family that faces nuclear war and flees to the South Pacific to get away from the nuclear fallout. It was based upon a lot of knowledge of the sea, of winds, and of sailing. The Survivor, or Survivor, on Kindle.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
Savage.
Thank you for listening to the show on Really Big Something Channel.
Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Pleased to meet you. Hope you get my name. Oh, yeah. First, what's puzzling you is the nature of my name.
Oh, unfortunately, yeah. This is a prescient song, Sympathy for the Devil, is now raging in America, where the sickest, most evil people on the earth are held up as role models and as victims. And the innocents are held up as the perpetrators of the crime themselves. And so in the first hour, I laid out the case of the two human beings who were executed, if you want to call them humans. I would say that anyone who does crimes like this have given up their humanity card and are now, and then they enter a new class, a new phyla. They're no longer Homo sapiens. They're Homo sapiens, a subspecies of Homo sapiens. Jack Harold Jones, who in 1995 raped and murdered Mary Phillips, a 34-year-old mother, in front of her 11-year-old daughter, and left her daughter for dead. And while crime photographers were taking pictures of the murder case, the girl woke up. She helped solve the case. He was given the needle last night. And, of course, all of the libs were at the execution crying last night. They flew in from Brooklyn. They gave up their marijuana at the gate, the southern state of Arkansas, they call it. Listen to the article. The southern state of Arkansas rushing to execute several inmates. They've been on death row since 1995. Williams, 46, died hours later after his appeals were exhausted. His lawyers flew in special. His lawyers had filed a flurry of last-minute challenges, including accusations that the state had improperly carried out Jones's execution just minutes earlier. One of the lawyers said in the legal filing, Mr. Jones was moving his lips and gulping for air after the drug was administered. It means the drug did not properly sedate him. Well, as I say, there's an answer to that question, too, which is don't use these drugs if they're so questionable. You got firing squads. You got death by hanging. That always worked. You could bring the guillotine back. It's very quick. Worked very well in France. And if those turn your stomach, you could always go, and I'm not joking, use street heroin and OD them, because there's no pain in that. You give them a nice, sleepy dose, and they never wake up. Williams' legal team had earlier argued that his extreme obesity, Williams weighed 400 pounds, that's 180 kilograms, would make it difficult to find a vein for the lethal injection. You hear how sick these lawyers are? Can you hear how sick these people really are? How did this slob get to weigh 400 pounds in jail? What was this elephant turd eating on the public dime? What were they feeding him, hay? Were they shoveling hay into his cell? How could this piece of garbage weigh 400 pounds on death row? They don't put them on a diet? All right, so they were dead. And, of course, some of us are talking about it today. Crimes of the two executed murderers are to be found almost nowhere in the media. Jones, as I said, killed a woman in front of her 11-year-old daughter and then strangled the daughter to kill her. The next doll, Marcel Williams, pulled a woman, 22 years old, over, made her withdraw money from 18 teller machines, then raped her, then strangled her, and then buried her in a shallow grave, and the poor girl didn't go home to pick up her child from the babysitter. You hear? And Marvin has sympathy for that man, not for the woman that he mutilated. By the way, 2 days after he murdered Erickson, Mr. Williams kidnapped and raped two other women within 12 hours. He's had one appeal after another. And the liberals are kicking and screaming today about, oh, how terrible it is. How terrible it is, the death penalty. Well, I still support the death penalty. I've looked at this my whole career in radio, and I still come out supporting it. I think it's a tremendous deterrent. I've heard them say it isn't, but I will tell you this, that if a person perpetrating a crime knows that there's no penalty for it other than being treated like a prince in prison for 30 or 40 years, let him go ahead with the crime. So then he could drive over a child's head with a truck in the name of his God, for example. He's not going to get executed for it. Now, I think we actually need some cruel and inhuman punishment. Certain crimes require Sharia law. That's what we need. We need to look at modified Sharia law in terms of crimes like this. Maybe they'll fly me to Saudi Arabia on Royal Saudi Airlines to discuss it with me. But, you know, there may be a little wisdom in an eye for an eye in this case. You know, a little eye for an eye and a little tooth for a tooth. Not coddling them for 30 years on death row, but making them suffer might stop some of these crimes if they thought that what they were doing to these innocent women would be done to them. I doubt very much they would go ahead with the crime. If he thought he would be raped repeatedly and then strangled, maybe he wouldn't rape the next woman. Did you ever think about that? All right, many of you still oppose it. And we're talking about the politics of science. Then we're talking about CBD, a component of cannabis. Not the cannabis that you smoked as a teenager, but an alkaloid from cannabis, which has nothing to do with getting high at all. And, of course, that's why you really oppose medical marijuana. Most people who peddle medical marijuana are drug peddlers, and they're only selling the drug to get high, not to treat anyone's medical problems. That's the unfortunate truth. But as a person who studied phytochemistry for so many years with a doctorate in the field, I got to tell you that if there are components in the coca leaf or components in the marijuana leaf, I don't care where they come from. I've studied components from plants for so many years. Nature has miraculous medicines in store for us in nature's pharmacy. One of the professors I worked for in graduate school studied sea creatures and what medicines they produced deep in the sea. In their, for example, toxins found in some sea creatures can kill you. But there are other components found in sea creatures that can prevent heart attacks and other diseases. So nature's pharmacy is quite vast, and we've only nipped the surface of what can be discovered in nature's pharmacy. So I'm all for real medical marijuana use, as long as they're not using the marijuana to get high. And why am I opposed to you getting high on marijuana? Because it's a dangerous high. It impairs you. You pose a danger to me and everyone else around you if you're high on marijuana. That's number one. You're driving stoned, you should be in jail. I don't want anyone who's drinking to drive. Why should you stone and drive? Why shouldn't there be an instant road test for stoners driving while stoned? Throw them into the can. Well, what is it? One drug is good and one is bad? I don't want impaired drivers. I don't want impaired cops. I don't want impaired whatever. I don't like impairment. You want an impaired surgeon, an impaired pilot? Well, no. And that's why we have to have random drug tests for all, including Congress. The first group that needs to be drug tested immediately is Congress. All 400 of these esteemed human beings that were so much better than the rest of us need to be randomly drug tested in Congress. Give them the old Dixie, send them back into the toilet, random them. How many of them would pass and how many would fail? You have no idea how many of them are stoned, do you? I'm not going to name names, but you can tell by behavior and by the tardive dyskinesia of some of them that they're on major, major, major pharmaceuticals and illegal drugs. Just look at them. Listen to them talk, and you know they're stoners. WABC Joseph on the death penalty. You're up on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
How are you? I'm a formerly incarcerated individual that is an advocate for the death penalty. I have a very...
Hold it. Joseph, you're in favor of executing those found guilty. As a former incarcerated individual, can you please tell us why?
Well, I have a very unique position. My grandfather was also executed in the state of New York in 1956. And I served 17 years in the Department of Corrections. And when I went into the Department of Corrections, I came across the most barbaric individuals that I ever met in my life. Men that were just planning their next criminal event when they would be released. People that never did an honest day's work in society and take advantage of every single person that they could come across. And I would watch the parole board release these individuals into society and thought that they were absolutely insane.
You know, this is coming from a prisoner. You were in for what, murder?
I did 16 years and 8 months for the charge of manslaughter in the first degree in the state of New York.
Yeah, but obviously something went on in that prison. Were you against the death penalty when you went in?
I was against the death penalty when I went in.
And then what? And you changed because of the abuses that you saw while you were in there?
Well, the men that I went in there, listen, I'm talking about the majority. There's always a minority of men who honestly change. But it's a very small minority. The majority of men in the system look to commit more criminal acts when they get released. And the Department of Corrections did absolutely nothing as the form of rehabilitation to rehabilitate these men and prepare them for society. They sat in prison all day and got high on narcotics. That's what they did.
And where'd they get the narcotics, legal or illegal?
No, they got the narcotics illegally. They came in through different methods, and they sat in prison all day, and they did heroin, and they smoked weed, and they did cocaine, and they drank liquor, and that's what they did in prison all day.
So they do the same thing inside that they do outside.
It's easier to get inside than it is outside.
Oh, God. You know, speaking of the inside, this Aaron Hernandez case, the guy who hung himself, the former athlete, what do you think that was about? Why do you think he hung himself?
You know, I've watched men take their lives in the prison system. As far as why is Aaron Hernandez did that, I can't answer that question. I would think it would be the fear of having to live in prison for the rest of his life. You know,
I mean, like a guy who was like wild all his life and nobody could control him, a man who lived purely on his impulses and his power, who got away with anything he wanted, whether it be with men or women, made a fortune in sports. The thought of being caged like an animal, he hung himself.
I honestly believe that that is the answer. That they're
well, Joseph, you came out. How many years ago did you come out of the can?
And I think the bottom line is this, that there are some crimes where you have to face the death penalty. I think that if you kill a police officer, you should face the death penalty. If you rape
How many years were you away?
You know, I mean, you have to have...
Joseph, I don't think Joseph can hear me. Joseph, how many years were you in the can?
Acceptable. And if you're a society that...
Can't hear me. Nothing. Gornish. Joseph, can you hear what I'm saying?
A woman or a child and then release them into...
Nothing. Are you calling from a... Come on, Joseph. Can you hear me, Joseph?
Permit something like that.
Can't hear me. Maybe still in? I don't even know. All right, Joseph, thank you very much. I can't even send them a book. I don't think they accept them at Corcoran. I'm joking. I don't know where he is. It was a great call, but he didn't hear a word. I was just curious how long he'd been in, when he got out. 17 years in jail and his grandfather was executed. Wow. Well, that's the world we live in. Sorry for the occasional cough. I'm not using the cough drop device. You know, in all my years in radio, I've never had a cough. I have one now. I got hit with a flu after Park City, Utah, the 9,000 feet plus the fumes in the car where the psycho released the toluene to clean the rug and I was stuck for an hour. It left me stripped naked. I got a flu. Then the dentist put me on antibiotics, which almost killed me. Which I threw in the toilet, the amoxicillin, I threw them down the toilet. I said, I'd rather have an infection than ever take that poison again. So you take a three shot like that, the altitude, the toluene in the car for an hour with the window open in order to not die from the fumes. You had a choice. It was like a Hobson's choice. You could freeze to death and put a rag over your nose to the fumes, or you could put the windows up and get the heat and die of the toluene. That's for 1 hour straight. Can you imagine? I mean, I wanted to pull the handle and throw myself on the road. As the most boring landscape in the history of the world zip by. I don't know how people live there. You talk about the death penalty. I don't know. I mean, incarceration might sound appealing compared to living somewhere in the mountains of Utah to me. I mean, where do you even go for a coffee? I don't understand what they do when they come out of their house. You have to drive 300 miles to a coffee shop, 400 miles to a laundromat. I'm joking. I have a big audience in Utah. All right, so I'll be back. I'm not a civil servant. I'm a servant of civility. I'm Michael Savage.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
Thank you for listening to the show on Really Big Something Channel.
To live or to die, do you support or oppose the death penalty and execution? Let's take another quick call. Our time is short on the Savage Nation. As usual, time is very valuable. Dan on WABC 4 again. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, I feel that people who are for the death penalty are probably not thinking as clearly as the people that did the murders. And I think that maybe there could be a way, if it's not already been done, to have the accused people have a choice, maybe up 30 days. Do you want the death or do you want life in prison? What do you think about that one?
Why should we give them the choice? It's society that is making the choice. Society is saying you raped the woman in front of her 11-year-old daughter and then strangled the girl. Then you went out and raped two other women. And then you were caught because the little girl came back to life. We caught you. You've had 30 years of appeal sitting on your fat behind in a jail. We want you dead. What is wrong with that decision by society?
It's barbaric.
Good. Well, sometimes barbarism is necessary for barbaric crimes. You're not telling me a man like that can be rehabilitated, are you?
Not at all. Not at all. But it takes somebody's life because they took one. Maybe it's as bad as the person who did it originally.
Maybe it isn't as bad. Maybe it deters the next person from doing the crime. When at the last minute, they say, you know what, I better not kill that cop who I got on the ground. Because if they catch me, and there's a high likelihood they've got a picture of me, they'll kill me. Whereas right now, all I get is life in prison. So that last decision is based upon the fact that in a society with a death penalty, they might not pull the trigger on the cop that they've overpowered.
Well, if that plan works, I'm all for it. I hope it works.
Well, you sound like a humane human being who's more concerned with the rights of the criminal than you are with justice for society.
Well, I'm all for the person who did the killing was probably mentally ill. He must have been to do the killing. Think about it.
Well, then why not cull the species of these murderers? Maybe you'd like them to have visitation rights so they could have babies on the outside.
Well, that is one way to look at it, yes.
Yeah, why not? No, bring in women for them. Their girlfriends have fallen in love with prisoners, and let them have some more babies outside because they're such good role models. So the baby can visit their dad in jail. I love those stories. They can't wait to get out to visit their child. All of a sudden, they're great fathers. When they're outside, they didn't give a rat about their child, and now they want to be a great father.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Okay, welcome back to the Savage Nation. I think we can move on, but people are very excited by this death penalty discussion because of the way the media has framed the story of the two executions yesterday in Arkansas. The rats in the fake news business put out an article saying the southern state of Arkansas, somehow the southern state, you know, implies that they're not as sophisticated as the sophisticated crowds over there in New York or Washington, D.C., rushed to execute several inmates. Now, they've been on death row since 1995, but you see, to a liberal, the truth doesn't really matter. What matters is the propaganda value. But in Arkansas, they didn't mess around. They finally fried him. They gave him the lethal drug. That's all. So we're talking about that. Let's take one from a corrections officer listening to this program. This is a powerful radio show, by the way. I know, you know, let me tell you something. Even I forget sometimes the reach of the program. And I'm saying this for a reason. I have such a familial way about me and a way of communicating with people out there that I can often forget that I'm talking to millions of people and influencing thought. And also, I did shape the last election. By the way, a little side note. And so sometimes I forget myself how vast this audience can be. So here is a call out of KMJ in Kansas from a corrections officer on the death penalty. Mark, line two, you're welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, first of all, thank you.
Mark, are you there? Go ahead, please.
Hello?
Well, I guess he's not there.
Dr. Savage?
Yes, you're on the radio. Go ahead.
Continue to call these people morons like they are. Thank you. Keep on doing that. But corrections officer here in Kansas, for that caller before me that said, and making a comparison with us who want the death penalty compared to the person that did the crime.
No, I heard that statement. I let it go by. I was wondering if anyone else heard it. So, yeah, right. Tell us your story as a corrections officer.
Exactly. If you're listening, you stupid, ignorant moron.
That's right. Let's hear it from the Savage Nation, right to the heartland of America. Give it to them in the brain. Go ahead. So now, what's your story over there?
Okay, so a couple of years ago, and people can look this up online, a guy, this man, raped and brutally, and I mean brutally, murdered this precious little 8-year-old girl. And then he stuffed her in a dryer. I had to take care of this piece of low-life scum-sucking trash. And this guy was acting like he was the victim. And Dr. Savage, if I could have got away with it, I would have snatched the life out of this guy.
Oh, I don't doubt it. Let me ask you something. You were the guard who had to watch him while he was in his cage?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, no, he's not. He should be in a cage. But this man gets his hours out. He's not in any special confinement, although they are put in a cell block anywhere from 24 to 48 of these people.
Oh, so he's in protective custody because he killed a child and they would rip him to pieces in general.
Better be glad. If I was given the opportunity, I would have killed him.
Well, what do you mean he said he was the victim? What does he mean? He said he didn't do it?
No, here's what happens. Oh, no, they caught him dead to right. His DNA, everything. There is no question that this guy is the one that did it. No question. No ifs, ands, or buts. But now that he's got his attorney, I'm all in favor of the innocent having attorneys, but now that this guy's got an attorney, all of a sudden he's the victim.
What do you mean a victim? Of what?
Being caught, I suppose. Dr. Savage, it boggles my mind.
So in other words, what, is he complaining that his food is warm, not hot? That the temperature in the cell is not right? The air isn't clean enough? What is it? The moisture level isn't right in his cell? What is it?
Yeah, he complains about everything, as most all of them do.
Well, that's because the lawyers encourage it. Why don't you help the audience understand what the lawyer who represents this piece of human scum... Tell me what the lawyer looks like and what the filth with the law degree behaves like.
Okay, here we go. He looks like something that I just left in the toilet after I wiped my butt.
Well, that's quite graphic. Right. That's graphic. And where does he come from? They flew him in from a big city somewhere?
Oh, no. These things are growing up like weeds everywhere, these attorneys.
Hmm. And when he marches in the attorney, does he march in with authority like he has power over you?
Oh, the attorneys? Oh, yeah. We've got to, I have to bow down like these people are gods, these attorneys, when they show up.
And all they have is a piece of a law degree. That's a little piece of paper that says that they're very special people.
Dr. Savage, keep calling these people who call in, call them ignorant. They are morons.
Are you still in the corrections world?
Ironically, I have gotten sick, actually, from one of them pieces of crap that I took care of. And on another note, just very quickly, I called in some time ago about illegal immigrants. We have to also take care of ICE, people that are arrested for criminal behavior. We have to treat them like kings.
Yeah, well, of course, they're sacred once they swim over the Rio Grande or cross the Sonora Desert. they become better than most American citizens in the eyes of Charles Schumer. Look, Mark, it's a sick, sick, sick world. And it's getting sicker by the day. Here's a story that just came up, Mark. California judge just blocked Trump's order on sanctuary city money. Now, who gave this lowlife bum in a filthy black robe named Judge William Orrick, who gave this bum the right to override the President of the United States? Did you vote for Judge William Orrick, a man in a filthy black robe? Did you vote for this bum to be the President of the United States?
Did I vote for...
I don't understand how this country can run when the lowest of humanity can get a law degree and then override a duly elected representative of the people. It's unbelievable to me. Let me send you a copy of Trump's War, because this book's going to live a long time. I can tell you right now by the sales that are going on and by the activity in the sales and the projections on the computer programs, Trump's War has only begun to sell. You know, it's funny, I got a picture yesterday from somebody of a bookstore in San Francisco, of all places, that was featuring a copy, not of Trump's War, in the front window. It was a bookstore on Chestnut Street in the Marina District, but of Scorched Earth. That book is also still selling. And I realized, you know, I just want to talk about myself as a writer for a minute. The books are written for a long time. They're not written for the quick flash in the pan. And I'm very proud of that, that's all. I worked so hard at it, I'm not doing anymore. Publisher asked me, I said, no, no more. That's it. I have the God book, it's done. I have the thumb drive on it, I'm not doing another book. I'll do some for the fiction, I'll publish old, new. I'm not doing any more books. I had enough. You talk about hard labor, you talk about hard time, I don't want to do it anymore. Secondly, I can't. I mean, I've had enough. I don't have it in me. You ever reach a point where you don't want to do something anymore in your life that you could still do? I want to talk about another time. It's not the right time. I guess we'll talk about incarceration. And then when you start thinking about imprisonment, we also are imprisoned by our own career sometimes. I know surgeons, by the way. I'm going off on a tangent. Pardon me. I have met surgeons in my lifetime who were still quite good at surgery. They were excellent. The best. And they left. They didn't leave after they cut a nerve by accident. They left before they cut a nerve by accident. They had enough of the pressure of sitting there every day and getting up at 4 in the morning and scrubbing and making sure that they were 100% correct in everything they did. The strain was too much for them. I've known pilots who have stopped flying. We certainly all know athletes who stop playing their sport at a certain point, not because they can't play it anymore. They just don't want to do it anymore. It happens in every field, every human venture. But the problem for me is this, is that although I and America just had a victory in electing Donald Trump, for better or for worse, he's 125% better than Hillary Clinton. So all you got to do is ask yourself where you'd be today had she won. By the way, as a little side note, where would we be 100 days into the presidency had she won? Well, let's see. I seem to recall she wanted to bring in 550% more Muslims from Syria. Did you want more Muslims from Syria in your neighborhood? I don't. Let's see. What would we have heard every day as that shrike got up from her bully pulpit? What would she have been lecturing us about? What would she have been saying every day of her fraudulent life? The shrike from the White House, had she won. The shrike would have been telling us about, let us see, racism, homophobia, global warming, LGBT rights. Yee! The audience would have cheered. Let's see, what else would the shrike have been talking about? Would she have mentioned the dangers of radical Islam? X, no. Would she have mentioned the dangers of fake science and excluding anybody who has any endeavors to, let us say, discover whether there is alternative facts? No. Would she have said anything about fake science at the CDC and the fact that her predecessor, Barack Obama, brought in infected women with Zika, which is now spreading throughout the United States, and the head of the CDC should be hunted down and put in jail, tried for crimes against humanity and arrested for what he did to us? No. I can go down the list. Trust me, I have a memory that's pretty good. I know what they did during those 8 years of the reign of terror of Obama. So you say, well, okay, Trump may not be so bad after all when you consider what could have happened had she had won. You don't add it all up when you say, oh, he's not this, he's not that, he bumbles, he doesn't finish a sentence. You're buying the propaganda. You know, I see all these articles now where there's Trump's this, Trump's that, Trump's no good, he can't finish a sentence. I spent 90 minutes with him personally. I told you that. I don't know, he got all of my jokes pretty quickly. Somehow he was able to get the joke as quickly as I told him, like a guy from Queens. He was able to get the joke. Maybe he doesn't get what he doesn't want to get. You know, maybe some of it is pretense. Did you ever think of that? Or maybe he doesn't care that much about it, appeasing people with perfect English. I've heard people speak absolutely perfect English and make no sense at all. I have listened to some of these liberals speak with such articulation, like Obama, one of the most articulate orators I have ever heard in my life. And I said so during his reign of 8 years. And yet look what he did to this nation. Look how he pitted black against white, white against black, poor against rich, rich against poor. Look at how he pitched man against woman, woman against man. 8 straight years of division. And he got away with it. Why? Because of the fake newsers. The Wolf Blitzers, the Jake Tappers. I don't even remember their names anymore. I don't even have a list of them in my head. California judge blocks Trump order on sanctuary city money. A so-called district judge, William Orrick, issued a temporary ruling just now in a lawsuit over the executive order targeting sanctuary cities. Now, who elected U.S. District Judge William Orrick to office? Nobody. All he is a lawyer in a filthy black robe that needs to be sent for sanitation. His robe and his brain needs to be sanitized.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
You're listening to Michael Savage on Really Big Something Channel.
I don't care who we are. It doesn't matter who we are. Everybody needs a great night's sleep, right? If you don't get one, you have a bad day. You get one, you get a good day. I'm having a lot of great days because I get a great night's sleep every night on my Casper mattress. I actually have one. The Casper mattress was invented with 2 high-tech foams that give you all the support you need and guarantees that you get the best night's sleep ever. And it comes to you in a box that's so small, you won't believe it holds a mattress. It's easy to get right into your bedroom. I love that Casper lets you try the mattress for 100 nights in your own home risk-free. They'll come pick it up. You don't love it as much as I love mine, and they'll give you back every dime, no questions asked. From its breakthrough design to its packaging to letting you try it for 100 nights, it is no wonder Casper was named one of Fast Company's 50 most innovative brands of 2017. And believe me, trying out a mattress at your house is a little different than lying on one in a store for just a few minutes. So get a Casper, get a great night's sleep every night like I do. All you got to do is go to Casper.com, use code SAVAGE, and you get $50 towards the purchase of this mattress. That's Casper.com, code SAVAGE, and you're going to get $50 off the purchase of your mattress. Casper.com/SAVAGE, terms and conditions apply. Let's go to a couple of quick calls on the issue of do you support or oppose the death penalty and execution. Kyle from KSFO Online, Line 8, go ahead, what's on your mind?
Hey, Doc Savage, I know you want to move on from that topic. I'm in favor of that, but I just wanted, I spent the better part of my 20s in the Department of Corrections in a toilet bowl city called Maryland, or Baltimore, excuse me, and I ordered the enemy within, and had to order liberalism as America's order twice. Because
they're male. I don't understand this. Why would prisoners be somewhat conservative? Are they, or they're all liberals?
It's infectious. When you say, when one person came to me and said, "Hey, you got to check out this guy," well, for the most part, it's just a madhouse. It's an animal house. But when people start listening to you, we're locked in at night, but you can hear us cracking up down the hallways. You know who's listening to you and who's not. And
I think I've lost my sense of humor recently.
I don't
tell too many jokes lately. I don't know. My mirthful sense of life is gone.
Cynicism carries over.
The world doesn't seem that funny to me anymore, Kyle. It's become hard, black and white to me. It's not so long. It's not much of a color movie anymore. It's become black and white. You know, when I see these anti-American leftists putting on bandanas and beating up people for simply supporting Trump, I ask myself, would prisoners support the anarchists or support the Trump voters? And my intuition tells me that ex-prisoners who've been rehabilitated and have come out, they'd like to break the necks of these punks who cover their faces with those rags. Would you agree with that or not?
Let me tell you, on September the 11th, there were celebrations because of what happened. I have my own opinions about that whole event, but irregardless, you had the Kufi wearing,
You know, I'm almost out of time. I'm so glad that you survived one of the worst prisons in the country and that you've become a listener to the show. I hope that I don't disappoint you. Stay in the line. I'm going to send you Trump's War as a gift to you on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
You know, the articles are all saying the same thing. Two executed murderers in Arkansas. And they show the sympathetic stories of the poor perpetrators. But they never showed the crimes. Arkansas stages first double execution in U.S. in 17 years. And of course, ATP News, which is fake news put out by ATP, listen to this, how they lead the article. The Southern State of Arkansas, they published, in order to smear Southerners and Arkansas as though they are knuckle-dragging, stupid Southern illiterates. You know, not sophisticated types from New York City. The Southern State of Kansas, rushing to execute several inmates before a lethal drug expires next week, put to death two inmates late. Do you know how long these vermin were on death row? They were sentenced to death in the 1990s. They were sentenced in the 1990s. Are you for or against the death penalty? I am clearly for it. It is a great deterrent. Tell me what is to stop a person who is killing someone from going to the nth degree in killing if they think that they're going to be caught and punished. If there's no punishment for it and they can sit on their fat behinds getting better medical care for 30 years on death row, better medical care than our veterans get. Better legal care. I love all the girls go in with their law degrees. How are you today? How are you today, Mr. Jones? Are we doing well, Mr. Jones? Are there any books or magazines we can get you, Mr. Jones? Is that pillow soft enough for your fat behind, Mr. Jones? Did a guard look at you wrong, Mr. Jones? Because we can report him, Mr. Jones. Is there a 600-thread sheet we can get you, Mr. Jones? Any special meals you'd like, Mr. Jones? And yet some of you are so foolish you are against the death penalty, even if they've had multiple appeals, and you know they're guilty, such as in this case in Arkansas. Do you know what crimes they committed? You don't know, because none of the articles by the vermin in the fake news business published their crimes. But I had to go research the crimes of these two human trash committed. You want to hear them, or you made your mind up already about the death penalty? Well, hold on a little minute. One black, one white. So let's put race aside, okay, just for a moment. Put your little racial lens aside. Take it off your stupid head. One white, one black. Jack Harold Jones was convicted in the 1995 rape and murder of Mary Phillips, a 34-year-old mother, in front of her 11-year-old daughter, Lacey. Then he tried to murder the girl. Phillips was found naked from the waist down with the cord from a coffee pot wrapped around her neck. As police crime photographers were taking pictures of the murder scene and assumed the little girl was dead, the girl woke up. She helped solve the case. This filth has been on death row since 1995. Take a guess who paid for his defense. You did. Because of the vermin in the ACLU, you did. How about the other doll? Marcel Williams. On the morning of November 20th, 1994 in Jacksonville, Arkansas, Marcel Williams forced motorist Stacy Erickson, 22, at gunpoint, into the passenger seat of her car at a gas station and forced her to withdraw money from 18 automatic teller machines for a sum totaling $350. He then raped and strangled her in an abandoned storage shed. The young girl did not make it to work that day and did not pick up her child from the babysitter. Her body was found in a shallow grave on December 5th. Williams was sentenced to death in 1995. By the way, 2 days after the murder of Stacy Erickson, Marcel Williams kidnapped and raped two other women within 12 hours. Well, finally, they were injected and killed. That's an example of the fake news putting out fake stories by putting out the southern state of Arkansas rushing to execute several inmates. It took them since 1995. According to the Marvins at Columbia, that's rushing to execute inmates. You hear? Rushing to execute them since 1995. Well, anyway, they executed these wonderful gentlemen. I love when they use the word gentleman, don't you? Sentenced to death in the 1990s, executed by lethal injection after all higher courts rejected their final legal appeals. Arkansas had planned to put 8 convicted murderers to death in 11 days, but 4 have won reprieves. I think it's time to clean up the death rows across America. Give them one more appeal and kill them all. Just execute them all. They're there because they've been convicted over and over again. Their appeals have been upheld over and over again. Do you know that a lawyer can make an entire lifetime of income on one appeal? Do you know that they make one case their entire life? Let's say you get up and go to a job every day to sell automobiles or insurance or houses. The lawyer from Harvard or NYU or Columbia Law, one of the good liberal humans, gets up every day and defends the same rapist and murderer every day for 30 years straight. One case can be assigned to that person. That's their entire livelihood, filing one fake appeal after another. So I ask you, ladies and gentlemen, one question. I have only one question for the audience that listens to this program religiously. You are the audience that matters. Do you support or oppose the death penalty and why? It's an old question, but it's worthy of discussion again and again and again and again. I personally support the death penalty, but I want them put onto a fast track, all of them. I don't want any more 30 or 20-year or 40-year appeals. I don't want people on death row for 40 years because of the psychotics at NYU or ACLU. I want them to be given one or two appeals and then executed once they're found guilty. Last appeal, Supreme Court, and then execute them. And by the way, if the drugs are found to be cruel and inhuman punishment, which the Marvins of ACLU have come up with, oh, they're such clever boy chicks. They're so smart. Oh, these lawyers are so smart. They came up with a thought that, let's see, we can't stop it this way, we can't stop it that way. I got it. We'll say that the drug doesn't act fast enough. So they stop many executions based on that big lie. Well, I have an answer to that also. I have an answer to that, Marv. You want to hear the answer, Marvy boy? Here's your answer, Marv. Just use straight street heroin. Just go buy a couple of bags of street heroin. You can find it in any community in America. Or go to the Mexican border. You can probably buy it wholesale. Just get some street heroin into the prison. They'll die a very peaceful and, by the way, quick death. Another topic I wanted to talk about today, which is the fake scientists who were marching for science all over the country yesterday. If you actually saw the kinds of things they were saying, you'd realize they're not scientists. It's not science. Listen to who's in science today. I got to play you some of the sound. March for science. You ready for this? I'll give you an example. Here's a so-called scientist who gives a speech yesterday in Washington in front of the White House. On clip 15, listen to the scientist.
We all know that science is about data, but we need to remember that data tell stories. We all have a story. My story is that I'm a public health geek and a policy wonk.
Oh, how great.
I'm also a queer transgender man.
You should get a Nobel Prize for being a queer transgender.
And science helps make sure my community and I are counted, and we count in decisions.
It has nothing to do with science, you sicko, you! Do you understand who has taken over science right now? to try to impose sexual ambivalence onto science? Do you understand the psychosis of this? Well, here's another one. Again, bringing in the fact that she's a lesbian now in her study of entomology. You want to understand what insanity is? Listen to number 13 now.
My name is Dr. Jessica Ware, and I'm here representing Rutgers University, Newark, and I'm a member of the Entomological Society of America. I'm an evolutionary biologist and an entomologist.
Wow.
Evolution.
That sounds big.
Evolutionary
big
biology and entomology, which is the study of insects, are disciplines for everyone.
Wow.
I'm a single mom to two children. I'm a black female punk rocker with an LGBT family.
Ooh.
My son and my identical twin are transgender, and I belong here.
Oh,
I belong in science.
You did a great job.
I'm part of a global community of entomologists and evolutionary biologists.
Oh.
The study of insects is by definition.
Okay. She's smarter than Albert Einstein. Believe me, she's more important than Albert Einstein. For all the reasons she just mentioned. So far, she hasn't mentioned anything she's done in science that's of any value whatsoever, other than she looks at bugs. It takes a bug to look at a bug day and night. So she looks at bugs day and night, looking to find a piece of herself down there with a feeler. But how we had to hear everything about her LGBT and her African-American heritage, and that she raised two children who were also LGBT, and we're supposed to salute her for that. Are you listening to how sick the society has become? Do you have any idea how demented this is to call this a march for science when it was the exact opposite? It was a march for emotion. Now she goes on to 14, the great entomologist who's discovered nothing, so far as we can tell, in the next clip.
We must teach our children to understand evolution. We must teach them to appreciate and love insects and arachnids. They are they are truly fascinating forms of life. They are always interesting, sometimes ugly, sometimes beautiful, but never boring.
No wonder you relate to them. I mean, I could see why you went into the science of entomology. What have you discovered so far? Nothing. Zero. But you're there shooting your big mouth off about your sexual orientation. Okay, so you see what I'm talking about, the march for science, what it became? It was a march of all the cranks who've invaded science. All the cranks who've invaded science, who don't want the gravy train to end for their fake science, were marching yesterday. Nobody's against science and scientific inquiry, but we're against the liars who have invaded science in order to promote a left-wing agenda. You get it? In Trump's war, I have an entire chapter, which I'm not going to read to you, entitled Trump's War to Restore Real Science. And here are the four solutions. They're simple. They're bullet points. Fund research by global warming skeptics. Right now, anyone who's a global warming skeptic cannot get funded. That's why they say 98% of scientists are sure that man has caused warming. It's because they won't fund any science to the contrary, any research to the contrary. Promote conservative conservationism over progressive environmentalism. Exercise caution and care in repealing environmental regulations. You didn't think I would say that, but I do. I even talk about saving the whales. And finally, restore real science at the NIH, CDC, and FDA. So far as I know, Donald Trump has not yet replaced the phonies at the NIH, the CDC. He needs to do that immediately. He needs to get these grifters out of the NIH and the CDC for all the reasons I describe in Trump's war. These are not scientists. They are politicians. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
So we heard about two wonderful remnants of the Neanderthal past who were executed in Arkansas yesterday. And the liberals went insane. They said southern state of Arkansas rushing to execute, blah, blah. Okay, first of all, they've been on death row since the crime of the 1995. That's number one. Number two, they've had every appeal known to mankind. Number three, I challenge anyone listening to this show as a bleeding heart liberal to find a single article which described the crimes that they committed. You can't find it. I had to go dig it up. Jack Carroll Jones, convicted in 1995 rape and murder of Mary Lou Phillips. Mary Phillips, 34-year-old mother, in front of her 11-year-old daughter who the vermin Lacey tried to kill. Mother was found naked from the waist down with a cord from a coffee pot around her neck. And while police crime photographers were taking pictures of the murder scene and assumed the little girl was also dead, the girl woke up. She helped solve the case. He was executed by the southern state of Arkansas last night. 1994, Jacksonville, Arkansas, Marcel Williams forced the woman, 22 years old, at gunpoint to cash machines, then raped and strangled her in an abandoned storage shed, leaving behind a little child at the babysitter. See, she was a working mom. No words from the radical feminist mob about the working mom or the other one who was raped. Not one word from the liars in the women's movement. Her body was found in a shallow grave. Mr. Williams, the gentleman, was sentenced to death in 1995. Oh, by the way, 2 days after he murdered this young girl, Stacy Erickson, he kidnapped and raped two other women within 12 hours. Let me tell you what the punishment should have been. It shouldn't have been 30 years leading a fat life on death row. After he was found guilty, they should have castrated him. But okay, I'm a little on the Saudi side when it comes to this kind of thing. A little Sharia wouldn't hurt right here. A little Sharia law would go a long way to reduce the rapes of innocent women. Don't you think? So I've asked you on this situation whether you're for or against the death penalty. We can argue over this all you want. Meanwhile, in the South, they're still knocking them off pretty good. We need to clean out all the death rows in America. Give them one more appeal, maximum 1 year time. Don't let them run a legal bill up. And if they're found guilty again, period, fry them. You've already tried them, now fry them. Then put the next group into the death row that belong in there. That's all. We've all seen the article that Ivanka got booed at a woman's panel in Germany, didn't it? You saw that. Ivanka got booed in Germany. Well, we have the tape of that. Two crackpot, sourpuss, radical feminist rats in the back booed in a big audience. She didn't get booed. There were two malcontent vermin in the back who muttered something. They made it into Ivanka gets booed. Again, fake news by mentally ill liberals. Al Gore group demands $15 trillion to fight global warming. Arrest him immediately. It is one of the greatest frauds in the history of the world. It is not scientific whatsoever. And I'll talk about that a little later today. Being the only member of the major radio media with an actual PhD, yes, I have the qualifications, and I'll argue with anybody on any subject you want. But let me tell you something. That March for Science was not a march for science at all. It was a march against reason and against science and against discussion. It was a march for a continuation of the tenured research that these bums have in the universities. They don't want their research funding cut. They may have to go out and sell cars or vacuum cleaners and get a real job instead of committing day after day to promoting fake science. You name the topic, there are fake scientists. And you see, without research funding or some research funding cut, which is long overdue, they're going to have to actually go out and get a job and compete in the real world. They don't want to do that. March for science. It wasn't a march for science. It was a march for a continuation of the gravy train.
Savage.
Now I read another article today in so-called USA Away magazine paper. USA Away, never made a dime in its life. Loses millions of dollars a day. USA Away newspaper headline. Marijuana may be a miracle treatment for children with autism. I said, wait a minute. This sounds like a fake news story. And sure enough, it's a fake news story. You see, in Israel, they're using a component of marijuana to treat autism. And that is the non-psychoactive compound, CBD, not THC, cannabidiol. Can they do a song about that one? Cannabidiol, CBD. It's an alkaloid of the many alkaloids found in the marijuana plant that helps children in ways no other medication has. And so Israel is a pioneer in this type of research. And so when you hear an article, read an article like this, marijuana may be a miracle treatment for children with autism. Again, propaganda, fake news. It's not marijuana, but a component of marijuana. That would be like saying, let me give another example. Cocaine. We all heard of cocaine. We know its devastating effects and what it does to people. At least most of us know what it does to people. Cocaine is one of many, many, many alkaloids, and amongst many other components, of the coca leaf. So in Peru, it's been known for ages that people can work at high altitudes on very low caloric intake simply by chewing the coca leaf. So you can argue and say, the Incas discovered that cocaine is a fabulous tool for aiding them in working long and hard with low intake of calories. Well, it would be a falsehood to say that, obviously, because it's not cocaine per se. It's cocaine is one of many alkaloids and glycosides and other components of the coca leaf when chewed, meaning when chewed together, act together in a synergistic fashion to sustain hard work at high altitudes with low oxygen and low calories. But it's not cocaine per se. If you gave the same workers cocaine per se, they'd be dropping dead of heart attacks. I have no question for it. I'm just showing you the crimes of the liberal establishment. The crimes of the liberal establishment who continue to rape the brain of the world on a daily basis. Day after day, they rape the mind of the world with big lies about everything. The big question is, do you support or oppose the death penalty? Is this a science question? Social science question? Religious question? Moral question? Question of justice? It's a question of all of that. And many of us differ on it. Many of us are staunch conservatives who oppose the death penalty. And I know why. You're afraid that if you give the state the authority to execute people, you don't know if it could be turned on you. So libertarians, I would think, oppose the death penalty. That would be my guess. In that sense, I am not a libertarian. In that sense, I'm a far right. You want to call me anything you want. I believe the death penalty is very just, a great deterrent. The only problem with the death penalty are the lawyers who represent the death row inmates. That's the only problem with it. You give them their appeals over and over again. They're found guilty definitively. No question marks. You fry them. And if you say that the drugs are too cruel and inhumane or whatever, then you go out and you have someone buy street heroin. Anywhere, any city in America, you can get street heroin. And you use it instead of a lethal injection with poor drugs made by bad pharmaceutical companies. Just get some street heroin and give them an OD. They'll feel good and die. And then give one to the lawyer to take home, to go. Give him one to go. Give him one to go. Like an order to go. Give the lawyer, who probably uses drugs on the side, an order to go. See if he wants to use it on himself. Tell him to experiment to see if it's cruel and inhumane in the privacy of his own home, and then get back to you. I'm so tired of letting these bums in the ACLU dictate social policy when they're all sick anti-Americans. Crimes of the two executed murderers are to be found almost nowhere in the media. Jones, as I said, killed a woman in front of her 11-year-old daughter and then strangled the daughter to kill her. The next doll, Marcel Williams, pulled a woman, 22 years old, over, made her withdraw money from 18 teller machines, then raped her, then strangled her, and then buried her in a shallow grave. And the poor girl didn't go home to pick up her child from the babysitter. You hear? And Marvin has sympathy for that man, not for the woman that he mutilated. By the way, 2 days after he murdered Erickson, Mr. Williams kidnapped and raped two other women within 12 hours. He's had one appeal after another. And the liberals are kicking and screaming today about, oh, how terrible it is. How terrible it is, the death penalty. Well, I still support the death penalty. I've looked at this my whole career in radio, and I still come out supporting it. I think it's a tremendous deterrent. I've heard them say it isn't, but I will tell you this, that if a person perpetrating a crime knows that there's no penalty for it other than being treated like a prince in prison for 30 or 40 years, and let him go ahead with the crime, so then he could drive over a child's head with a truck in the name of his God, for example. He's not going to get executed for it. Now, I think we actually need some cruel and inhuman punishment. Certain crimes require Sharia law. That's what we need. We need to look at modified Sharia law in terms of crimes like this. Maybe they'll fly me to Saudi Arabia on Royal Saudi Airlines to discuss it with me. But you know, there may be a little wisdom in an eye for an eye in this case. You know, a little eye for an eye and a little tooth for a tooth. Not coddling them for 30 years on death row, but making them suffer might stop some of these crimes if they thought that what they were doing to these innocent women would be done to them. I doubt very much they would go ahead with the crime. If he thought he would be raped repeatedly and then strangled, maybe he wouldn't rape the next woman. Did you ever think about that? All right, many of you still oppose it. And we're talking about the politics of science. Then we're talking about CBD, a component of cannabis. Not the cannabis that you smoked as a teenager, but an alkaloid from cannabis, which has nothing to do with getting high at all. And, of course, that's why you really oppose medical marijuana. Most people who peddle medical marijuana are drug peddlers, and they're only selling the drug to get high, not to treat anyone's medical problems. That's the unfortunate truth. But as a person who studied phytochemistry for so many years with a doctorate in the field, I got to tell you that if there are components in the coca leaf or components in the marijuana leaf, I don't care where they come from. I've studied components from plants for so many years. Nature has miraculous medicines in store for us in nature's pharmacy. One of the professors I worked for in graduate school studied sea creatures and what medicines they produced deep in the sea. In their, for example, toxins found in some sea creatures can kill you. But there are other components found in sea creatures that can prevent heart attacks and other diseases. So nature's pharmacy is quite vast, and we've only nipped the surface of what can be discovered in nature's pharmacy. So I'm all for real medical marijuana use, as long as they're not using the marijuana to get high. And why am I opposed to you getting high on marijuana? Because it's a dangerous high. It impairs you. You pose a danger to me and everyone else around you if you're high on marijuana. That's number one. You're driving stoned, you should be in jail. I don't want anyone who's drinking to drive. Why should you stone and drive? Why shouldn't there be an instant road test for stoners driving while stoned? Throw them into the can. Well, what is it? One drug is good and one is bad? I don't want impaired drivers. I don't want impaired cops. I don't want impaired whatever. I don't like impairment. You want an impaired surgeon, an impaired pilot? Well, no, and that's why we have to have random drug tests for all, including Congress. The first group that needs to be drug tested immediately is Congress. All 400 of these esteemed human beings who are so much better than the rest of us need to be randomly drug tested in Congress. Give them the old Dixie, send them back into the toilet, random them. How many of them would pass and how many would fail? You have no idea how many of them are stoned, do you? I'm not going to name names, but you can tell by behavior and by the tardive dyskinesia of some of them, that they're on major, major, major pharmaceuticals and illegal drugs. Just look at them. Listen to them talk, and you know they're stoners. And so in the first hour, I laid out the case of the two human beings who were executed, if you want to call them humans. I would say that anyone who does crimes like this have given up their humanity card and are now, and then they enter a new class, a new phyla. They're no longer Homo sapiens. They're Homo sapiens, a subspecies of Homo sapiens. Jack Harold Jones, who in 1995 raped and murdered Mary Phillips, a 34-year-old mother, in front of her 11-year-old daughter, and left her daughter for dead. And while crime photographers were taking pictures of the murder case, the girl woke up. She helped solve the case. He was given the needle last night, and of course all of the libs were at the execution crying last night. They flew in from Brooklyn. They gave up their marijuana at the gate, the southern state of Arkansas, they call it. Listen to the article. The southern state of Arkansas rushing to execute several inmates. They've been on death row since 1995. Williams, 46, died hours later after his appeals were exhausted. His lawyers flew in special. His lawyers had filed a flurry of last-minute challenges, including accusations that the state had improperly carried out Jones's execution just minutes earlier. One of the lawyers said in the legal filing, Mr. Jones was moving his lips and gulping for air after the drug was administered. It means the drug did not properly sedate him. Well, as I say, there's an answer to that question, too, which is don't use these drugs if they're so questionable. You got firing squads. You got death by hanging. That always worked. You could bring the guillotine back. It's very quick. Worked very well in France. And if those turn your stomach, you could always go, and I'm not joking, use street heroin and OD them, because there's no pain in that. You give them a nice, sleepy dose, and they never wake up. Williams' legal team had earlier argued that his extreme obesity, Williams weighed 400 pounds, that's 180 kilograms, would make it difficult to find a vein for the lethal injection. You hear how sick these lawyers are? Can you hear how sick these people really are? How did this slob get to weigh 400 pounds in jail? What was this elephant turd eating on the public dime? What were they feeding him, hay? Were they shoveling hay into his cell? How could this piece of garbage weigh 400 pounds on death row? They don't put them on a diet? All right, so they were dead. And, of course, some of us are talking about it today. Be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Here's a story that came up. California judge just blocked Trump's order on sanctuary city money. Now, who gave this lowlife bum in a filthy black robe named Judge William Orrick, who gave this bum the right to override the President of the United States? Did you vote for Judge William Orrick, a man in a filthy black robe? Did you vote for this bum to be the President of the United States? I don't understand how this country can run when the lowest of humanity can get a law degree and then override a duly elected representative of the people. It's unbelievable to me. California judge blocks Trump order on sanctuary city money. A so-called district judge, William Orrick, issued a temporary ruling just now in a lawsuit over the executive order targeting sanctuary cities. Now, who elected U.S. District Judge William Orrick to office? Nobody. All he is a lawyer in a filthy black robe that needs to be sent for sanitation. His robe and his brain needs to be sanitized. You know, it's funny, I got a picture yesterday from somebody of a bookstore in San Francisco, of all places, that was featuring a copy, not of Trump's war, in the front window. It was a bookstore on Chestnut Street in the Marina District, but of Scorched Earth. That book is also still selling. And I realized, you know, I just want to talk about myself as a writer for a minute. The books are written for a long time. They're not written for the quick flash in the pan. And I'm very proud of that, that's all. I worked so hard at it, I'm not doing anymore. Publisher asked me, I said, no, no more. That's it. I have the God book, it's done. I have the thumb drive on it, I'm not doing another book. I'll do some for the fiction, I'll publish old, new. I'm not doing any more books. I had enough. You talk about hard labor, you talk about hard time, I don't want to do it anymore. Secondly, I can't. I mean, I've had enough. I don't have it in me. You ever reach a point where you don't want to do something anymore in your life that you could still do? I want to talk about another time. It's not the right time. I guess we'll talk about incarceration. And then when you start thinking about imprisonment, we also are imprisoned by our own careers sometimes. I know surgeons, by the way. I'm going off on a tangent. Pardon me. I have met surgeons in my lifetime who were still quite good at surgery. They were excellent. The best. And they left. They didn't leave after they cut a nerve by accident. They left before they cut a nerve by accident. They had enough of the pressure of sitting there every day and getting up at 4 in the morning and scrubbing and making sure that they were 100% correct in everything they did. The strain was too much for them. I've known pilots who have stopped flying. We certainly all know athletes who stop playing their sport at a certain point, not because they can't play it anymore. They just don't want to do it anymore. It happens in every field, every human venture. But the problem for me is this, is that although I and America just had a victory in electing Donald Trump, for better or for worse, he's 125% better than Hillary Clinton. So all you got to do is ask yourself where you'd be today had she won. By the way, as a little side note, where would we be 100 days into the presidency had she won? Well, let's see. I seem to recall she wanted to bring in 550% more Muslims from Syria. Did you want more Muslims from Syria in your neighborhood? I don't. Let's see, what would we have heard every day as that shrike got up from her bully pulpit? What would she have been lecturing us about? What would she have been saying every day of her fraudulent life? The shrike from the White House, had she won, the shrike would have been telling us about, let us see, racism, homophobia, global warming, LGBT rights. Yay! The audience would have cheered. Let's see, what else would the Shrike have been talking about? Would she have mentioned the dangers of radical Islam? X, no. Would she have mentioned the dangers of fake science and excluding anybody who has any endeavors to, let us say, discover whether there is alternative facts? No. Would she have said anything about fake science at the CDC and the fact that her predecessor, Barack Obama, brought in infected women with Zika, which is now spreading throughout the United States, and the head of the CDC should be hunted down and put in jail, tried for crimes against humanity and arrested for what he did to us? No. I can go down the list. Trust me, I have a memory that's pretty good. I know what they did. You don't add it all up when you say, oh, he's not this, he's not that, he bumbles, he doesn't finish a sentence. You're buying the propaganda.
Savage.